it's like there's this like silly idea that the more anti-black you are, the safer you are.
Yes.
And it's like you're like this, like disassociating yourself from us will not save you.
It will not.
I'm never gonna get the okie doke. Ever, like, no.
You never gonna fool me once, fool me twice. Not three
you ain't
times.
They didn't fool me before. They fooled me this time.
ten toes down, Ashley is coming back. Okay.
We don't have to fight for others. I feel like that weight has been lifted. I will speak truth.
Yeah.
I will not be silent. But your fight is no longer my fight anymore.
Like, you know, like you know when you have a bad space hand?
Yeah.
But you surprised at how long you make it go?
You being four, but you come out with seven?
Hey, yeah. Let me tell you, that's what Kamala did.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Welcome to Wait a Minute, a show where we take the conversation out of the group chat, tell the truth, and kiki with friends. I'm Sylvia Obell, and I'm here with my girls, Ashley. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis.
And Reese Colbert.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Welcome.
Thank
First
you.
First time joining us this season.
Yes, this time.
Happy to have you back. Wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, me too.
Girl.
Me too. Happy to say, I feel like we should just go on and get in it, because that's the first time I've smiled. In 48 hours.
I know. I will say just being with you all, just before we even started, has helped my spirit.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I think community,
Yes.
Like, I don't want nobody to talk to me about community building right now, but I do think that just being with community, being with people, like, reminds us that, like, the things we do have control over versus the thing we obviously feel very out of control in. And I guess maybe we should just say the thing, obviously.
Yes.
Vice President Kamala Harris has lost the election.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have entered the seventh ring of hell.
Oh. Bang, already?
I mean, we've been moving down slowly, but now we're here in the seventh ring.
Yeah.
Where rights are questionable.
Yeah.
Where funding for things that we've had my whole life, like the Department of Education, are up for grabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where things like critical race theory, schools may get punished for having courses such as, where I don't have federal full rights over my body, depends on what state I live in.
Right. Child, they want to take fluoride out the water.
Like, just, I didn't even know that was on the ballot until, like, 3 days ago.
You,
like,
know they you know what was on the ballot in California?
What?
Slavery. Indentured servitude or something like involuntary, like, service, because it was about, like, making the federal prisoners work against their will in prisons. And but there was also spoke to, like, in general. And it was like it lost, like, it didn't get passed. Like, the
So slavery lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good.
That's one silver lining. No, I'm sorry. They didn't vote. No, it was like 47 to like 50 something, and it was for keeping it.
So
keeping
slavery won.
So slavery won.
Slavery won.
Okay.
But that's funny enough, not even the biggest fish we had to fry. Because it's just, I guess I want to check. I mean, obviously, none of us are doing well. I feel like I hate the question, how are you?
Actually, I'm fine.
Currently.
I'm actually, like, very clear.
Okay.
And I feel actually proud of myself because I remember 2016 and the day after the election, flying back, having to go back to work at the White House and wanting to be invisible. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Mm. I felt like I had failed people. Mm. But I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like, happy of the results.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, note it.
Yeah.
Note it accordingly. And I have a clarity about what I need to do in this moment for my people that I think only comes with maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I am definitely a grown woman.
Yeah.
Like, now, I might hit the floor in tears this weekend because I'm running on fumes right now. But, like, the first 48, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah. How was your first 48?
I'm at peace mm-hmm. because, to Ashley's point, we're clear.
Yes.
We are very clear. And so I have no choice but to be at peace with that, because now I don't have to wonder, did we leave it all on the table, on the field? You know, was it tweaking this or tweaking that? It was crystal clear
yeah.
what the choices are. And so that brings clarity to me. And I have a weight lifted off my shoulder, because I'm like, I have less work to do now because the choice has been made.
Yeah.
And so let's all sit with that. And it is what it is.
I think for me, the first 48 hours have been about processing what is truly true about this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because before this, I've always been able to say, well, he didn't win the popular vote.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true.
And this time, it wasn't like he was forced. He didn't have to steal, manipulate, mm-hmm. sue, electoral college his way into office. America gave him the permission slip
mm-hmm.
to come and do whatever. All the things he said, you know, he ran the most racist, yeah. sexist, xenophobic,
yeah.
homophobic campaign that's ever been run. And all because, and I think a lot of people believe this, all for the sake of white supremacy mm-hmm. or the need for white people to feel like they will stay in power and they were not going to, like, you know, be outnumbered or outruled or whatever. They were willing to give up everything this country is supposed to stand for. Mm. They're
yeah.
willing to risk democracy
yeah.
as long as it means that they still
yeah.
are at the top. And I think that is...
I think the thing that stung me the most, though, is he made a calculation, they all did, that they don't have to win one single Biden voter, that mm-hmm. they can have the most successful dissuasion campaign we've ever seen and the most successful turnout campaign in terms of their base. He did not win the popular vote with more votes than what he got, maybe possible.
Yeah.
But so far, it's not looking like he's going to get more votes than he got in 2020.
Right.
And
right.
so what happened is our people stayed home.
Yes.
And so hat tip to him. They have been relentless with the disinformation campaign, with the dissuasion campaign. And we all knew about it. We were all watching it.
Yes.
And they were able to convince people who saw all of this to sit on the couch.
Yeah.
That's what stings the most.
I think the one thing about the disinformation and misinformation, even the words that Trump says, is that there always is like 10% of truth in it.
That's
and
if we're lucky, only 10%.
Yeah. but it's like, yeah, groceries are high,
yeah.
right? But then it's like, whose fault is why groceries are high? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
so like people are able to receive disinformation, and because the 10% that is true often has an emotional reaction
yep.
to you. And so I was in this conversation the night before election, and people, like, whenever I'm talking to voters and they're like saying this, I'm like, whoa, you've been this is like 2 years deep now.
Yeah,
like the talking points that you're giving back to me, we got a lot of work to do mm-hmm. to help inform people. And I think the people who stayed home, I don't want to like blame the voters. I want to blame the like things behind, like all the things that got.
I'm gonna blame them.
Some of them.
I mean, it's like, well, no, it's a both way thing. It's like there's blame in the fact that he's able to run it all.
Yes.
Like I definitely feel like the fact that he's able to run for president as a convicted felon. The fact that the Republican Party does not mind that he has been accused of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
They love that. You know what yeah. I mean? And it's like, so it's these things where it's the fact that, you know, he's filed bankruptcy. So, and then people are like, oh, but his economic plan, even though he didn't give one besides,
he doesn't have any.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so I think it's that, yes, I'm frustrated that somebody like him is able to run. I think somebody who called, like, you know, literally we watched what happened on January 6th and they said, yeah, let's let him do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that feels wild to me. His whole staff, like from last time, are not supporting him at all.
Yeah,
right.
Like, the fact that these things, like, you know, the people who are in charge who know he's dangerous, and they're like, we're going to let him do it anyway.
I think the reason why I'm saying it's not the voters' fault is like, but what is happening that is
possible? Like, I don't understand.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's literally what I'm saying. I'm like, it's crazy, you know? It's even possible. That
yes,
he's able to be
but
a
why?
Why? I think he's I think he's living proof about what whiteness lets you get away with.
That but I don't true. Even know if any. I think he is the exception to the rule. I don't like. I agree in terms of like what whiteness lets you get like.
Yeah.
Watch whiteness work, right?
Yeah.
Especially wealthy whiteness.
But like, I'm trying to think about what other person. Like for example, Harvey Weinstein. Terrible human.
Yeah.
He went to jail. Like, he was white, wealthy, but like.
But it took a lot of cases to take him down.
True.
It took a lot of years, it took a lot
that's
of stuff. True. And I think I don't know. I mean, I don't want the focus of this to be like, oh, what white men.
Can get away with.
We know
they can get away with.
We know they can get away with a lot. Like, I think this election is proof about what white people can get away with.
Yes.
I think what hurts, obviously, are the other people of color. Who, by the way, I never want to hear that phrase again. I'm black. I'm not BIPOC.
Right.
I'm not a person of color. I'm blackity, black. And that's where I stand on
Period.
That. The exit polls said what they said.
Yeah.
And I said what I said.
Well,
because
you know,
I'm like, because look,
do you remember, I was like, I think white women.
I think that for the first time, I'm like, white women might actually save us this election.
Save
is crazy.
Save is a wild thing to say.
Help assist?
Or do what they're supposed to do?
Okay.
I'd rather just say, do what you're supposed
Rewind.
To do.
Rewind.
Girl, I don't know what crack I was smoking
you
that
know,
day.
I think it's, you had hope that they wanted that they would prioritize their bodies over their whiteness.
Yes.
And once again, they said no.
I said, I was like, I think white men, women might save us. And they And I was like, help us? No. I don't know why. Like, I think one thing I did this election cycle was I leaned too much into the hope. I leaned too much into the possibility. And I didn't rely on, like, what I know to be true.
Yeah.
Which is that anti-blackness is very prominent.
Yes. And it like, screwed me in the long run where it was like, of course they're not going to be with us. They never have been with us.
Right. They weren't with Hillary.
No. So why would they be? Yeah.
Well, we thought because of Roe versus Wade. It wasn't purely like, oh, it's the exact same scenario. For a second, we had the crazy idea that, like, their reproductive rights would mean more to them. But, you know, there's something to be said about how white people prioritize whiteness and stick together on it, no matter the fuck what.
I agree.
Because it's really, it's a special kind of abandoning of... Because even with the rural whites, the poor whites, like, the people who are going to be impacted by this, and then people who want to be respected... And that's what I think about when I see, like, the other communities that are not white, who are voting for white, for this. It's like there's this like silly idea that the more anti-black you are, the safer you are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like disassociating yourself from us will not save you.
It will not.
Yeah.
It will not save you. And in fact, if anything, you're putting yourself more at harm because now the people who would have helped you
are like,
don't want to. Go picture that. Black women are like, baby.
Yeah.
But I am tired. One thing I don't want, but I don't want this to be seen as a referendum on blackness. They actually went out of their way to try to paint Kamala Harris as not black. I don't think that this
here's the thing. It also shows no matter how much you try to paint her as not black,
she's black.
And these votes also show that to me was part of the whole misinformation thing. It's like, if we make it seem like, you know, she's not black, people will just, like, you know, maybe we'll let them, they'll slide her in and let her be president. And
that was ridiculous.
It was some jujitsu happening. Like,
right.
It, like, literally, like, it's like, find the words, girl.
I know, find the words. You're crushing it.
I was in this conversation with this black man, and he was like, you know, she only was vice president because Biden had to pick a black woman as vice president. I was like, first of all, that's not what he said. He said that he would pick a black Supreme Court justice and then he would pick a woman for vice president, but who cares about facts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the first thing. And then I was like, oh, so she's black.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so she's black.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, no. And I'm like, no.
Let's stick with it.
And it's slippy showing. It's like, it's slippy showing. It's like, we know what's up.
It's like, you just boop, boop, boop.
It's because it's like, oh yeah, yes. It's also, and I mean, to the point of it where it's like, to your point about where I, it was such an exciting, it's like hope is like a drug.
Yes.
Where it's like, I feel like it got contagious because, you know, Ashley, we were here before, we started doing this show before Kamala was
even on the ticket.
Even on the ticket. And when we were talking about who might be able to replace Biden, I remember my initial thoughts being when people were saying Kamala, I'm like, a Negro president? Woman? Y'all think that this country is going to let a Negress run it?
I know.
And then I'm trying to remember when I lost my cynicism. And I maybe it was at the DNC, but like I literally was like.
It was
like,
the call with the 44,000 black.
Yes, and then the money was being raised. Yeah. And then white dudes for Kamala and white women for Kamala. Oh. And I was like, wait a minute. And I got caught up on that same hope train of 2008.
The bubble of hope.
The bubble of hope. And it popped like the biggest blank on Tuesday. And it was like we came back down to earth. And it was like, oh yeah, I almost forgot.
Yeah.
That ain't never, this country was not even built to protect us. How are they gonna let one of us
run
it?
Yeah.
Run it. Imagine if she's most qualified than most candidates that we've ever had. She tried to be everybody's president.
I know.
It's like literally the most, like if you could have to create a candidate, a black woman in a lab who they might take. It's Kamala.
Right.
And
well, aside from she didn't have a black husband. That's the only thing.
Like I said what I said. That they thought maybe would make white men be like, well, I don't know. But it's just a thing where there's no,
But I'm stubborn. I'm sorry. I am not going to cede the argument that her blackness was a deficiency. Maybe I would be kind of willing to entertain the idea of her being a woman was the bigger issue as opposed to her being a black woman.
Why?
Because I think, I mean, if we're, I don't want to get into the, you know, the coulda, woulda, shoulda, but she had a very deep hole to climb out of. Like, Biden was getting his ass kicked by Trump. I'm sorry. Like, he was losing.
Yes.
And so in 100 days, she had to turn around a ship without being able to really, it was a course correction, but it wasn't the voyage that she wanted to set out on in the way that she did. And so I think that what this election really showed is how extraordinary a black woman is to take on a losing campaign against the most unhinged, unqualified, should be disqualified candidate, and got as far as she did. Did she fall short? I think we fell short. I think that this election is really a referendum on whiteness, and it's a referendum on apathy. Because like I said, I think that it is absolutely unconscionable that 15 million people who voted for Biden stayed home. If you wanted to quantify that as that's the black and woman tax, maybe we can make that argument, but that deficit was already there in the support that Biden had. And so I just feel like the conversation that we need to be figuring out is what is driving this degree of apathy? Because 50 million people or 80 million people don't vote anyway, right? So we're already at 55%, but now we go from 55% turnout to probably 47, 40, 50 something. Mm-hmm. So like that is where we need to bridge the gap. And I don't want to feel like black women, I don't feel like we had our moment because it was minimized. Let's not talk about the fact that she didn't run as Angela Davis, I'm a black woman here. We wore black girl magic. She didn't run on that. You know, everybody around her attached that, but she didn't run on that. So I mean, maybe I'm just being sentimental and being naive, but I'm not willing to see the conversation to the fact that this is about, that she lost because she's a black woman. That's part of it, but I think that it's bigger than that.
I think it's more than one thing that can be true.
But
I definitely think her being a black woman is part of it.
It's part of it.
We lost states that Wisconsin. We lost states that
it's not just like we lost states.
That we normally
win. Like states like New Jersey and Illinois.
And boroughs like Queens.
In Queens.
Like that I'm like hearing cities and states where all I'm hearing is misogyny, mm-hmm, race, like, you know, especially when it comes to, I'm sorry, the increase in that Latino vote is because of blackness, in my opinion. Anti-blackness, I mean.
Yeah.
I think we have some real conversations.
I mean, it's like people who would have normally voted for that candidate, like, no matter what, like, people, I'm not talking about people who stayed home. I hear you on that point, too, but I'm talking about when I'm looking at the exit polls and I'm reading them, it's like, part of what I'm getting from that data is a piece of that. And I do think that it's just, you're right that it could have been a different type of candidate and we would have lost the way because she did have to do the impossible.
Yeah.
And she did an impeccable job.
She did.
And none of what I feel like about this is me feeling like she didn't run an amazing campaign.
Right, no.
Or like was like surmounting like impossible circumstances. But I also just think that when I'm looking at why some people would be so, would concede to voting for somebody who they would normally never vote for, like a candidate like that.
But I feel like Republicans fall in line. Democrats fall in love. The Republicans chose Trump. They had all of the same policies that Trump had and Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. They could have had a white man, a young white man, an old white man. They could have had an Indian man. And they was like, bump all that. We want Trump. And so his support was baked into the cake. He came in with the same votes, and he left with the same votes. I don't think that we're seeing a realignment. Yes, the exit polls showed something. What the exit polls showed is that this percentage is going to reliably vote Republican no matter what. Now, when our people drop off, then that percentage becomes a higher piece of the electorate. So I feel like I agree we have to address sexism and race and anti-blackness. It would be completely ridiculous to ignore that. But I do think that if we're talking about what's next for our community, we have to address this voter apathy. A lot of it is understandable.
Yeah.
But we got to figure out why we are not activating to our capacity.
For So I think there's also two. I totally agree. And I think that Democrats don't deliver for us a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like that they have done things for black people. Mm-hmm. But I think that we as a community need to get really clear on what our asks are the next time. Forget the next time a Democrat, but like when leaders are in power, we need to be clear on what we want for our community, for black people.
Yeah.
And then we need to ask everybody for it. Mm-hmm. Like
Republicans
and Democrats.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that was clear, it's like something that has been spinning in my head for the last month, is something my grandmother used to say, is that if you chase money, you always gonna be running.
Mm. Okay.
And I think that this election is clear that Americans, we are a capitalist.
Oh yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Society.
But,
and we might place whiteness over anti-blackness all day, but we place money over democracy.
Oh, 100%.
And it's like, I know there's like people like, oh, it's a class thing. I'm like, no, people have a dream of what they want, and they want to be wealthy, and they want to be able to go on vacation, and like people aren't feeling that right now, and this is the only thing, is like I can't fault people for wanting that, because too.
Yeah. I just don't get how that equals Trump, though. How does Trump equal us having more money to do those things?
I think it doesn't make sense, because like there was no plan. But I think that the associate, to Reese's point of like her being in such a hole, she's associated not that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even as much of, we really think Donald Trump will get this. It's that like, it doesn't feel like the current existence is getting it for us either. And so it really was a change referendum vote versus like a Donald Trump vote. And I think two things can be true at the same time. And I think all of that was going into the calculus. I think misogyny and sexism was about 15%. I think the money thing was about 15%. I think just like there was culture stuff, like white people feeling like they're about to be erased was 15%. And then I just think like the disinformation was 15%. Yeah. I don't think that added up to 100, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I think it's a thought of, I think we're expressing what a lot of black women are feeling right now, where it's like the analysis of what was it and like what different things we may think are not filling it in. I think there's some people who feel like me where it's like, I think we try to overcomplicate it because we don't want to believe certain things.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, but then I also think you, obviously you both are like very into this policy, like you're into that world. So you know, these other things that apply to these stuff. But sometimes I feel like we try to overcomplicate things.
I agree.
The truth is so hurtful. And it is.
I think for some people, it is hurtful. And but I don't think the electorate that voted for him are all the same. That's the only thing. I think that there are some people that, like, the whole reason they did not vote for her was because she was a black woman. But I don't think that was all however many millions of votes he got at this point. I think there were some people that literally are like, I'm voting for myself and my family because I feel like there's something better out there. I don't agree what they picked is better, though. Like, I think that it, and I think that people will realize that.
I'm just trying to think, like, what's strong enough to make you vote for somebody who says that they will deport you and your family?
Oh, I don't get it.
You know, Puerto Rico a bag of trash. Like, you know, think about wanting better for their, thinking that they'll have better for their family in that scenario.
Well,
I have a hard time making.
I'm not trying to, listen. I'm
no,
hot.
I really would love to.
I'm hot. But this is, okay, I'm like.
No, I know. I'm just like, man.
FTH. This is the conversation that I think needs to happen within the Latino community. And we say all the time, black people are not a monolith. But when you actually look at like the exit polls and you see, and you look at precincts that have never voted for Republicans and have voted, these are Latinos that have been here. They aren't going to get deported because their families have been here for four generations. They are like, there are many Latinos who will be deported. And if they are, they didn't get to vote, first of all, because they aren't citizens. And then there are many Latinos who did not vote. I mean, there were still like 37% who voted for her, who feel what we're feeling, like, how could you vote against your own self-interest? But then there were a lot of people who were like, you know, it's kind of like a pull your pants up type of thing. Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not an immigrant.
It's an abandonment
of self. It's an abandonment of, like, you're part of your community.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm the good one over here, right?
I saw polling there. They were like, he ain't talking about me.
Exactly.
He ain't talking about y'all. It ain't me.
It's so confusing to me because as a child of immigrants, like, I'm American. I have people in my family who were born in America and I have people who were not.
Yeah.
I could not imagine me looking down on people I come from.
I know.
In that way.
I know.
And that's why I still, like, I get what you're saying, but it's still hard for me to even put my mind there because, like, the audacity, those are the people who gave you, like, the ability to be this way.
I know.
Like, their sacrifices. Like, how dare, like, it's, the, I think that's what the discuss. And it's not even, again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm only talking about the Latino community. I'm also talking about white women. Like, anybody who voted against self-interest can get it.
Biggest scam was this idea that white women were secretly,
I
vote against
that
their
Kool-Aid.
Husbands.
Yeah, that commercial had me cracking up. I was like,
can we stop it making babying white women? They know what they sign up for. Everybody is clear now. Everybody's clear. So next time we don't have to have the conversation. We did it in 2016 with Hillary, thought that they're gonna be turned off, grabbing by the pussy and stuff. And so now we done did 2020.
I wanna see another march, I wanna see a hat.
I don't want
talking to see with the polls and do like until we see differently, I don't even want to hear about it. But it does make me question. When you're saying, like, next time and moving forward, what do you guys think?
What do we even
think that means? Because I'm, like, kind of, like,
I'm never going to get the okie doke. Ever, like, no.
You never going to fool me once, fool me twice, not three times.
They didn't fool me before. They fooled me this time. But ten toes down, Ashley is coming back, okay?
It's like, you just can't, like, I think we sometimes have gotten convinced that our thinking is just in our head. And then sometimes you're reminded, no. People just don't want to admit it because it's a hard conversation to have, but it's not in our heads. You know, white women know that, or hope that their husbands and their fathers will protect them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The same way they did before Roe versus Wade was law, when their rich private doctors were able to give them abortions on the side. And, you know, they hope that they will stay. Hopefully your husband don't leave you. Hopefully your dad don't die. I don't know. You know, you're putting a lot of faith in people. But I just don't get what this means for, I guess the question I want to ask you guys is, like, what are you thinking about when it comes to looking ahead? Because I know a lot of women on my, Black women I've talked to in my group chats, online, are saying, like, don't ask us for nothing. I don't want to hear about no organizing right now. I don't want to hear about getting back to work right now. I want to be able to grieve this, really, to, like, really sit with this realization and whatever fear and betrayal maybe felt right now about what it looks like moving forward. I had friends who have daughters who are like, I don't want to wake her up. I don't know, am I lying to her about the kind of world she lives in where I'm telling her she can be anything? Like, how are we as a community, and by that I mean Black women, because we're the only ones I care about right now, how are we going to move forward from this? You know what I mean?
I would say heal from this. That we have to affirm ourselves, which is why I let's have a conversation about racism and anti-Blackness and sexism, but let's also affirm our worthiness. Let's affirm that we showed up time and time again where there was a huge push to marginalize us and say that you shouldn't be centered. You know, all these other people should be centered, not you, and you guys need to play second fiddle. And we have to assert ourselves. We don't have to fight for others. I feel like that weight has been lifted. I will speak truth. I will not be silent, but your fight is no longer my fight anymore. But I will assert ourselves, because what I'm concerned about is the notion that, well, we got to find a way to get the white woman back and the white working class men back. And I'm concerned about this notion that we're going to have to pivot as a Democratic Party, which is the only party that we have a home in, because they're full-blown white nationalists on the other side. We have to assert ourselves in this moment and going forward that, no, we will not be erased and marginalized. We're not going to the back of the bus of the Democratic Party. We're not going to just play our role and be the mules of the 90-something percent that gives you guys the margin. We still have a place here. We still have a voice here. We still have value here. So that's what I'm focused on, is that we still belong here, regardless of, as much as it might feel like a rejection, we still belong. And we are not going to be shut out. We're not going back to where Black people are second string. That's my focus.
I think there's stages to it. I feel, do whatever you need to do right now. Whatever you need to do right now. You know, my silly optimistic self is like, I think I hear you, Reese, but like, I just know, I don't know you well, but I know you enough to know that, like, you'll be there for people. I know right now you're like pissed, but like, and so will you, because it's in your spirit, because that's who we are. We are, and it's not fair. But, like, we are the better angels of society. And when we see people, even if they got themselves in the situation, we do it for our family. We help people. And what I don't want this to happen, I am very frustrated at people who I feel like turned their back on us in this moment. But I don't want to become the other version. I don't want to become disheartened. I don't want to be like a bad person. I want to keep my heart soft, even in this moment of disappointment.
You're right.
So, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, like, I mean, I feel like I definitely
ask me when it happens.
I feel like it's gonna be a slow burn. I definitely respect anybody, like the Black women who feel like what Reese is saying, what you're saying, where we're all very much like, fuck everybody else.
And we should be
I think it's warranted.
It's the first
thing. And I hate, you're right, because, you know, and I get it. Like, if there are, I do believe that there will be some fall off. There are some real gangsters who are like, I'm sticking beside that shit.
Ten toes down.
I know a few of them. Okay, they're really done. Y'all lost it for real. But there are people who, like you said, and I think, to your point, like, I know God's gonna speak to my, you know, the parts of me that he still could talk to, that I, you know, that you open up and still, like, obviously you want to, you want to be like, fuck the ship, let the ship go down, but we are on the ship
too. We are on it.
Exactly.
And that is, oh, it's going to be that type of preservation that keeps me going. But I also, I have always centered Black women first and foremost in my work, in my writing. I've had to fight, argue with editors, argue with managers about why I do that. I want to at least have to stop having the argument. It should be very clear why I put us first, because they're the only people who put me first and my humanity first. And nobody else is going to prioritize us but us. So when they see us prioritizing us, I don't want to hear more like any complaints about it or confusion or like whatever, because it's obviously super necessary.
I agree.
And we and I think to me this is just a billionth example of why.
I think the other thing is, so do what you need to do. And I think it will be situational. But I also am like, when we first started the conversation talking about the clarity,
it's like the clarity.
I understand the assignment of like why I started Watering Hole Media and the way information is distributed. I heard Roland Martin and I were like in back and forth in the conversation, and he said, you know, I think Democrats ran an analog campaign and the Republicans ran a digital campaign. But it didn't start when Donald Trump started running. It started 10 years ago. And so what we're trying to build at Watering Hole is a space to have those those counter conversations that combat the mis and disinformation. And it's not always about politics. So that was like, I woke up and I was like, yes, there is the right, there's a theory behind what we're doing. And like 2 weeks before the campaign was, like before Election Day, I was sitting in the greatest FOMO ever. We talked about this like 2 weeks ago on the last show. It was like your purpose, your journey. And I was like, why didn't I join this campaign? Like, I can't believe, like, I didn't work for the first Black president, you know, female president, all this stuff. And I had to be like, no, you are in the seat you're supposed to be on. You are the person that's supposed to be on air right now saying what you're saying. You're the person that needs to be, to tell people the night he won, keep your head up. Do not shrink. Do not become invisible. Even though I was like, why did I go work on the campaign? Being clear on the assignment, the purpose for you that you have right now. And the final thing I will say is just like, one of my mentees reached out to me yesterday and she was like, can you jump on this call with my staff and do a breathing exercise? Cause I'm a yogi. And I was like, I don't have to, I can't, like, I don't have anything to give you. And I can't, cause I'm like working. But I did do a meditation and I recorded last night. I posted on social media because I do think we have to do some care for ourselves, some real care. And I'm not talking about go get a massage. That's like a luxury kind. I'm talking about real cellular care of like, what is this trauma, this what just happened is going to show up in our bodies in very different ways. It's going to show up with like stress that it can become high blood pressure. It's going to show up with anxiety. It's going to show up with depression. And so like massages don't fix that. Go get them. But like, go, if you need to really talk to somebody about what happened, go find your therapist in this moment. If you need like a circle to like have your prayer, have your whatever work, go to the doctor, right? Go like,
while you still can.
While you still can, but like seriously, go check on your health. It will manifest in ways. The body keeps the score.
It does. It does.
And so that is like, I think the first step is like prioritizing yourself and your wellness.
And your wellness. I think it's, I think you speak to a good thing that's good to, I want to hear from Reese too. But like what we're holding on to moving forward, I think is like a great place to start, because like when the shock, because I do think I spent the first 12 or so, maybe 24 hours, it's kind of in like a shock state. But like, I, not shocked because I don't know what we're capable of, but just shocked that like, of like what I'm going to have to endure. I think we're all deal, like, because I don't want to sugarcoat it. We're about to have to endure some real stuff. And as I do, and I hear my belief, like God is always God and the sovereign. But also, I always remind people that God was also always God during slavery.
That's right.
Like,
that's
right. God being God is not.
There were concentration
camps.
It does not promise
mm-hmm. comfort.
No.
Yeah. Or ease. Like, he promises protection, so he'll always be there. And I think one of the things I'm pointing on to is, yes, my ultimate protection, I believe, does come from the Lord.
Yes.
And I do believe that, you know, how that anchors me is not that I feel like I won't suffer from, because obviously we are under earthly, worldly laws, policies, all of that. As a person who pays for healthcare out of pocket, mm-hmm. I am very concerned.
Yes.
As a black woman who is going to be between the ages of 35 and 39, 40 when Trump is in office, even I mean, if he gets out, because he did tell us we don't have to worry about voting again, but right. I guess y'all didn't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so obviously I have a lot of friends who are in this moment saying, I guess I'm not going to have kids now because I'm too afraid to get pregnant when I don't have these certain rights. Mm. Or I'm too afraid, like, it's even more about risking my life not to have a baby. Or I won't be able to afford freezing my eggs. Or I'm moving and leaving out this country. And I think that's the thing that I am trying what I'm trying to hold on to is not letting this change what my purpose is,
mm-hmm.
change where I know I'm supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
change what it is I know I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's when it's like you're putting your trust and fear fully into man.
Yes.
And not into something bigger. And that's what I won't do. And that's what I am trying to hold on to is that I do feel the urge to freaking find another country to live in. I do understand the urge of wanting to just abandon all the plans you may have had for a family or whatever else. But I think for me, I'm just kind of flirting in like they do not get to rob me of any more than they already have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And so I refuse to let the fear win.
Yeah. I agree.
Even though, man, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And mm-hmm. I think it's hard. Like I said, I would land on this. It's just that for the first time in my life, I feel like this may be a naive thought, but I feel greatly outweighed by bad people over good people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing. Where I said this last week, last episode, that the country's going to get the president it deserves. And the country is getting the president it deserves.
Yeah.
Part of my rest in it, whatever, is when it comes to the old evil vengeance thoughts is, hey, you going to get what you voted for.
Mm-hmm.
And
he told you.
He told you. And when it happens, you deserve it.
Yeah.
But I weep for the people who don't deserve it. Mm. But I also am trying to tell us that we should hold on to the things we know to be true about ourselves,
yep.
about why we're
yes.
here and who
yes.
our communities and our tribes are and people who love us.
Mm-hmm.
I received several text messages from black men in my life. I was very surprised. I don't know if y'all had like a little secret meeting. I got like maybe 3 or 4 texts from homeboys. Like sending like, just like, hey, welcome. I want you to know that like, it didn't go how we thought it was gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ashamed of some of these exit polls, but I want you to know that I am here, I appreciate you, and we will be here with you during these next 4 years. When I tell you, I almost cried by the third one I got.
I ain't heard from none.
But the ones where I've gotten where I'm like, thank you, like, it means something to hear those things. And I mean that to say, like, it may be a bigger deal than you think to reaffirm your community and your tribe and the people in the black people in your life right now, because it is a very lonely feeling
right now.
Mm-hmm. It is. Especially for those of us who are just, you know, single, independent black women operating in the world.
Yeah. Well,
what are you holding on to?
I mean, I feel like black joy is an act of resistance.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I have a beautiful family, a beautiful baby girl, a wonderful husband, a great career. My life is fantastic. And Trump doesn't change that yet. Now, I don't know what kind of pivot and bobbing and weaving I'm gonna have to do, but I'll cross that bridge when I get there. We always persist. And we're powerful. So I'm holding on to my power.
Yeah.
A lot of people would expect me as a person who has been a day one Kamala Harris supporter, who just lit everybody on fire, whoever came against her, it was fire and fury against them.
Right.
For 5 years, so a lot of people would expect me
to
be
gay
like,
half.
Was
like, Reese is the OG K Hive.
I didn't know they were calling it the K Hive. I'm cracking up.
Yeah, that's what they called
it. The coconuts. Before they were the coconuts.
Before the coconuts was like the brands and all that stuff. Yeah. But I was, And so a lot of people probably looking at me like, aha, bitch, she lies and you just talking that issue. That's okay. I'm still powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because my voice contributed to a movement. It fell short, but the movement was still there.
It doesn't erase what you did.
It doesn't.
It's like you tried to make this country a better place.
Yeah.
Yes.
You should
thank
not feel
you
ashamed.
For it.
Yeah.
That's why I said keep your head up. I should not feel ashamed for trying to make this country better than, giving it more than it deserves.
Here's the thing that is like kind of funny to me right now. It's like, okay.
Because there's some irony. I feel like you're going to touch on the irony.
Well, it's just like, y'all won. Like, why are you in my comments? Like,
why,
you
won. Right?
Like, it's so, like, I'll say stuff on television. Like, the right wing has, like, come after me more on Twitter than.
Because Elon, like, it's open field over there.
And I'm like, but I'm like, why aren't you over there? Like,
celebrating.
If Kamala won, I would not be paying no mind to y'all.
No,
I would be celebrating. None. I would be, like, planning for. But, like, why am I living rent-free in your head?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't
They're
understand.
In their mother's basement. They have no lives. This is all they have, Ashley.
I'm like, what is
the ha-ha. Like, this is, I'm like you, I'm like the people who, it's especially the lower middle class, Midwestern, white, like flyover state white people who really are confusing because they are the ones who will be in your stuff.
Yes.
And it's like, you are about to suffer more than me. Mm. Like, I'm closer to getting that tax break than you. You over here laughing at Beyonce, but she benefits from Trump's policies more than you do.
Yes.
And you laughing at her when you the one who's giving up your stuff.
You know,
when you're not even close to benefiting.
I'm like, leave me, one, you're not gonna like, just because you won doesn't mean I don't get to have my opinion.
Yeah.
First of all. But two, like, go celebrate. Like, go be with your friends or whatever. But then the other thing is, to your point of like, your life is great, I am living a very blessed life right now. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to be in the life I'm in, but I'm grateful for what I have. One thing I wanna be mindful of is not getting in this like preemptive doom cycle right
now. Exactly.
Like, I do think that everything that this president-elect has said he will probably do, he will try and do.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to doom spiral before we're in that moment.
Right.
You know, and it's not giving him the benefit of the doubt that he won't do bad things. It's about, like, we have to remain present while being prepared.
Yep.
But, like, if you exhaust all of your fight and protection about a possible, but maybe like a not possible future, like, you won't have anything left when it actually happens.
Yeah, right. That's good. Right?
Yeah.
So like, I, cause that's what, like, I woke up, I like had 3 hours of sleep within 48 hours. And I woke up and I was like, all these catastrophic thoughts started going through my head about what was happening in the world. And then I was like, but that's not happening today, actually.
No,
Ashley.
People are walking around the like world. Normal.
No, but like, nothing happened.
Like,
and so I was like,
la-da-da-da-da.
I walked out of my hotel and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So like, be okay with this present. Mm-hmm. You can be, I don't want to diminish what just happened, but I think as like, my therapist would be like, stay in the present. Don't catastrophically think about the future.
Tomorrow's worries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no, it's, you're not wrong. There's things to worry about, but your point about preserving energy and tackling it when it comes is probably one of the biggest tools we'll need.
Yes.
I definitely don't, this reminds me of the other thing I want to say is when people say like, oh, you know, we've survived it before, we'll survive it again. We've been through first four, like, da, da, da. And I want to remind people of the sensitivity that not everybody survived.
Exactly.
The first Trump run. A lot of people lost their family members to COVID, just to name one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost women to the lack of reproductive care since. We're not, the idea that we're all going to be here in the next story on the other side of this is just, it's not true.
Yes.
And it's a very flippant thing to say. And I think, like, I definitely want to honor the gravity of the fact that we're not all going to survive this.
Yeah, that's absolutely
and
true.
And it's, and so that's why I say, like, you know, give people the time to really process and grieve and prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the truth. And it's not, but the hard thing is it's a fact about life, right? Mm-hmm. It's that none of us know
what is the
thing ever, but I don't want to pretend like.
Speaking of which, why I'm going to get my gun.
You look, you're blicky.
I like to, this is a hard pivot, but like the beginning, the like one of our first or second shows, we talked about owning guns, and I was like, I don't know, I've been thinking about it. By 2 weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get it. Now I'm like, I'm getting my conceal and carry.
Yeah.
Permit.
I was Rick said, don't worry about what's being.
I'm going to get my little.
I don't incriminate myself. Listen, on nobody.
I'm going to be little Annie Oakley over here. Okay,
Annie. You know how I feel about it. I said, if it gets to the point where I'm shooting somebody, I'm probably already going to jail because I'm black. So.
That's fact.
But I just hope it don't get to that.
Let's hope. Crime has been down under Biden Harris. Let's hope it stays that way.
Speaking of guns. The VP already got her. She got her Glock.
She does.
And she literally let us know what the
she
whole
was
time.
Like.
This is what I mean when she really tried to appeal to everybody.
Yeah. She said, F-A-F-O. I'm going to have my gun. My Glock. Yeah.
She said, come over to this house if you want to.
But we've talked a lot about, like, the sadness of the moment that we're in. But let's. And we also talked about, like, shouting out ourselves and protecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. But. Let's give some love to our sister.
Yeah.
Mrs. Harris.
Mrs. Harris. Kamala Debbie Harris.
Mm. Come on. Mm-hmm.
I watched her give her concession speech yesterday. Mm. And her strength to walk out with a smile on her face because she knew there was a generation standing on a yard.
Yep.
That she has also walked across many times.
Yeah.
That she was firm, was courageous, and what we needed in this moment. It did not work out, but I just thought like her poise, her ability to be, my mom and I were talking about this and she was like, she just like found her stride, her footing. And I was like, Mom, do you understand how hard it is to show up every day and people calling you a hoe? Calling you incompetent? Trying to take every piece of your dignity away and you gotta like literally show up with a smile on your face. She is more powerful than anyone is giving her credit for.
Absolutely.
And I just wanna say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We almost even don't deserve you.
And honestly, sometimes I like when I think about it in my head, the reasons why I've been spiraling about like why she didn't win. I think some of it too was like, we don't know what would have happened, you know, like what that would look like. Or yeah, to your point, maybe this country did not deserve her. But you're so
go
right.
Go do whatever you want to do,
go
sis.
Go do, go be free.
Okay.
Be free. Well, you know, after, I guess, you know, she still has to finish her
term.
Time as vice president.
Yeah.
But after that, go do what you want to do.
I hope her and Doug go to like Cabo.
Right.
And just have them a nice little stay, you know?
Cabo.
I think Cabo randomly. But, like, you know, summer warm.
Go
guys.
All go inclusive.
Jamaica, letting her people that they tried to take away.
Right.
Go on to Montego Bay and take a little trip.
Come on.
Yeah.
But, no, you're so right. Definitely want to give flowers to Kamala. And just thank you is really just all I can say. Because she really, you said it, like, she had an unfair hand. And she played that hand. Like, you know, like you know when you have a bad spades hand?
Yeah.
But you surprised at how long you make it go.
You being four, but you come out with seven.
And let me tell you, that's what Kamala did.
Yeah.
That's the spades equivalent of what Kamala did in these 107 days, I think. Like, she ran a better camp. Her and her team ran a better campaign in 107 days. And I've seen people do with 2 years of a campaign time. Like, from she did every media, she was everywhere. Like, her scheduling, like, the interview she did, she even sat down on Fox for these people.
She sure did.
And Call Me Daddy and all these other white places. She sat down on Fox and Charlamagne at the Breakfast Club. And, baby, she stretched herself wide and far.
And looked good doing it.
And looked good.
That silk press never was out of place.
And I think even though her positivity, I know some people may have I know some people find it annoying to some extent, but I have to say that there's a part of me that truly appreciates the the way she moves with such joy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because to your point, I do see black joy as resistance, an mm-hmm. act of resistance. Mm-hmm. And the fact that even when she lost this election, she knew to come out on that stage.
Joyful.
Still joyful, still gave us that laugh. And, you know, it meant something to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of all of racism, sexism, all of it is to break our spirit.
It's to break your spirit.
That's exactly right.
That's the whole point. And that's one of the main things that's keeping it, me, from ever allowing it to break my spirit. As Beyonce said, you can't break my soul. Because I know you want to, and I will not give you the satisfaction.
Everybody. Yes.
Any additional flowers from the original K-Hive. I'll let you take us home.
Yeah, you know, I was there at her concession speech. I was there election night, too. And she showed, and whoever wondered who Kamala Harris is, and, I don't know who the real Kamala is, and da-da-da-da, she showed that. Mm. She showed that yesterday. Or she showed that at her concession speech. She does truly believe in the power and promise of this country, mm-hmm. even when she had every right to get up there and tell people go to hell. Mm-hmm. She still went out there and she exuded extraordinary strength. And this whole thing has been about humbling her, mm-hmm. and by extension, humbling black women. And she came out in such brave fashion, to your point, understanding the assignment of, you know, I saw the 18, 19-year-old AKAs and, you know, the Howard students. And she did not let the assignment down. You know, we let her down as a country, mm-hmm. but she didn't let us down. And so I have to give her flowers for that. And the most powerful thing that she said was,
the adage is, only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars.
To give us that.
Yeah, so optimistic.
That she is.
I love it. You need it.
She is so optimistic. She's like,
but yeah, America, you in danger, girl.
Yeah, we are. But you know, look, the stars was how we was getting through the Underground Railroad.
That's right.
So you know, she gave us our marching orders going forward, and so I appreciate her for that because she didn't have to do that.
She did.
She didn't have to do that, and we as a country didn't deserve that. But it wasn't for the country, it was for the people that supported her.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and I thank her for that, and I'm glad that I was able to be there for her in my own small little way. So, kudos. Well done.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's it for today on today's episode of America's Got a Problem. No, but
that's
this
my Beyonce.
That's when
she came out in the
shoulders.
Oh, she had shoulder pads, Annie. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys both for this conversation within the first 48 hours. I know it wasn't maybe easy for all of us to get here, but we are here, and it made me feel better. Talking about government always makes me feel better.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So I appreciate it. Hope you all enjoyed today's episode. Please subscribe to Water and Home Media on our YouTube page. Follow us on the Gram and the Clock app and wherever else Water and Home Media may be. Like, subscribe, comment. We want to hear your thoughts. Thanks for watching.
My favorite part of the show is being in community with these fabulous black women because, listen, it's still our moment. I don't care if VP lost or not. Black women are still going to run the day.
Being able to process what went on with the election and make sense or try to make sense of the unsensible always is easier with black women. I think just being around each other because we get it, we understand, we don't have to add context or watch our words. It's just like this instant, almost like just tribal comfort that I get from black women. And so I'm always glad at the opportunity to convene in fellowship. I know that's what's going to carry me through this term, however long it lasts, because we really all we got.
But to be honest, I'm very aware of my body, and I am not feeling it in my body right now. I am not feeling the tightness in my chest that I felt in 2016. Like I said, I'm feeling very clear, but what I will say is that when I feel it come up, I will allow myself to experience it, and I think everyone should, because I don't want it to be stuck inside so that I remain stuck in the moment and not be able to move forward with healing.